Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week I have on a young lady that I met at a backyard ultra. I think I've met her a couple times before, but I really got to kind of watch her go out and conquer a lot of miles at the backyard ultra and got to know her a little bit better. And I've just been intrigued by her story. And so I thought, well, let me bring this amazing person on and let her talk to you about ultra running and everything. So without further ado, let's bring in Alyssa Shossey. Alyssa, you ready to go for a run?
I'm always ready.
Awesome. You are always ready. So from 2 weeks ago, knocking down 100 at Rim to River.
Good times.
And then today you go out and run 20 miles just for the heck of it.
Kind of. Yeah, we like to support our running buddies.
I know. You're amazing that way. Well, let's start out with kind of finding out, who is Alyssa? What do you do when you're not out running ultra marathons and family and all that good stuff?
Alrighty. So probably first and foremost, I am a mom. I have two great boys. Teague is 19 and Ty is 17. We were a military family, so I moved around quite a bit. My background is in English. I have a master's degree in English. Didn't use that for a lot of years. When we came to Virginia, I worked at Point Two at the running store. I got to kind of have fun with my running. I was also coaching. I did high school track and cross country for a handful of years. And then in the last couple of years, I headed back to the workforce. I am at Newport News Shipbuilding, and I am currently with E25 Test Engineering. And I love what I do. I'm doing kind of quality assurance for fleet support for submarines. So having nothing to do with running at all, but kind of a nice change.
Wait a second, you have a master's in English and you're working in an engineering department at Newport News Shipbuilding.
It's a weird world. Yes.
That is awesome. I'm like, that is like so out of the spectrum of what you do with the master's in English. How did you end up there?
Yes and no. And that is kind of also a running connection, which is
okay.
A bizarre world. I had been working in planning, which I did not love at the shipyard, but I kind of wanted my foot in the door, didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then had a connection with somebody that I knew through running. And there was an opening in his department, and I applied and interviewed and did all the things. And it's been an awesome fit, but I do use my English. It's a lot of technical reading, reviewing, and writing. And so it is up my alley.
Cool.
I'm not a teacher with a red pen, but it's kind of the same idea. And I love it.
That is so awesome. What a random way to come back to using, you know, something that you invested a lot of years in getting. That is so cool. That is awesome. I love
that. I get to talk running at work. And like even one of the guys I work with, I was so excited about running that he just ran his first half marathon, training for a full marathon. And I've kind of coached him through that. So wherever I go, I end up getting to, you know, talk about what I love. And it typically, I don't want to say inspires people. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it probably annoys them, but my passion is definitely loud. So people know what I love to do.
That is awesome. So how have you been a runner all of your life? Has this been
no.
a lifelong passion? No.
Yeah. I ran a little bit in high school, but no, was never fast. So I didn't come back to running until I was an adult. I had two little boys. I had a five-year-old and a three-year-old at the time, and I was going through some just tough life. I had a spouse that was deployed all the time. We were Air Force, and I grew up with a family of runners. My dad was a marathon runner. My mom ran. My family vacations were planned around running. So I kind
no
of,
way. That's
I would never
awesome.
Be a runner. It was not going to happen. But anyway, I was going through this challenging time where I kind of wanted to like lose the baby weight for starters, even though I had, you know, a toddler. And I was also raising my older child and was on the autism spectrum. And I kind of just needed some me time. I was kind of losing my sanity. So I hit the gym and then I started running and then I just kind of never backed down from there. So that was 2010 and the kind of
wow.
The rest of history.
Okay. So 2010. So did you run just like mainly road race, short stuff or what?
I kind of went through the paces. I mean, I ran, I think by 2011, within a year, I'd run a marathon. So I kind
okay.
of like, you know, hopped to it. I did the 5K, did a couple 10Ks, did a couple half marathons. And my mom was probably one of my biggest supporters. My dad kind of coached me through a lot of that. early on until I had
That's
running
awesome.
buddies, which I eventually had, but they didn't really get strong. I was living in Washington at the time we were stationed there. But when I moved to Hawaii and that was our next duty station, that's where I learned about ultras. That's where I met the people that kind of inspired me, taught me. I mean, I feel like a lot of ultra running is community and it is people teaching you so you don't make all the same dumb mistakes that you can possibly make.
Okay, so in Hawaii, what the ultra running community there, was that kind of based around the whole HURT community? Okay.
So
Yeah.
I got indoctrinated quick.
I was going to say indoctrinated quick and hard. That's
Yeah, it was
a
legit.
killer course. That's have you run the whole course or?
Well, I absolutely have not raced it at all. I got to pace a loop of it. So that is, your 20 miles, which feels like 100 years out there. And that was kind of my beginning into ultra running. I mean, I had done a few ultras before then, but mostly road. I had just started doing some trail. And I had met a girl when I was doing a 50K on some of their hard trails, and she was training for HURT. And she said, "I think you'd be an excellent pacer. Can I train you? I'd love to use you." And this happened in October of that year. That would have been 2015. And I said, "Sure, if you'll teach me."
That
And
is
she did.
awesome.
And so then in 2016, so that was January, is HURT. I did a loop with her. And then I did a whole bunch of big things before we left the island in 2016. So that was kind of the beginning
Awesome. That
of
is so cool. That's kind of like one of my dream. I don't want to ever run the race HURT because I know there's no way that I would finish it in time, but I'd love to run the loop. Just I know it would take me a century, but I'd love to run the loop, the
You
HURT loop
should.
just once.
It's beautiful. And there's plenty of great people that would show it to you if you go out there. That's the cool thing, is the HURT Ohana is just all about bettering yourself and helping everybody else and being a family. And I live that. That was awesome. It was really hard to leave. I don't really keep in touch with many of the people now, but it is a cool place to have been thrown into the deep end.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, the community. I've always heard good things about the HURT Ohana community, that they're just some of the best people in the world. So that's neat.
Yeah. Very
So,
welcome because a lot of the people are military, right? And they're there
right.
for a handful of years and then they're in, they're out. So they kind of just pass on their wisdom to whoever's there, and it's your job to, see it forward when you can.
That's awesome. Paying it forward. Loved hearing that. So where did you move after Hawaii?
Sadly, here.
Okay, sadly, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's so many people who feel that way. So you end up in, I take it he was probably at Langley. Your husband was at Langley then?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, cool. And so then, did you get introduced to the Hampton Roads running community through Point Two?
No, I kind of found people before then, and it kind of started through just online. I was making connections. I got into a couple of Facebook groups before I moved, trying to look for routes because I was training for a 100-miler when I like came here.
Okay.
So I got connected with a bunch of people I don't run with or talk to anymore. A lot of them aren't even here, but it was just kind of a connection point. And then I did meet, a handful of Point Two people, and I didn't work at Point Two for a couple more years after that. But yeah, there was a great group of people, and I've just had different people. Like, I would not still be doing what I'm doing had it not been for community,
So was it 2019-ish when you got here then, or what?
No, it was 2016,
Oh,
actually.
2016.
I've
Wow,
been
you've
here a
been here a
long
long
time.
time. Long time. Okay.
So
So
before I left the
when.
island, the only really cool thing I did after pacing at HURT is I had the opportunity. I was getting coached at the time, and I got to run the whole perimeter of Oahu with a couple
No
guys.
way.
And so
Are you
135
serious?
miles was pretty legit. I'd never run a 100-miler before. I was very, very ill-equipped. They should never have let me run with them looking back. But I'm thankful because they believed I could do it. I think they also knew I would be their slow one and that would keep them honest.
Okay.
And because a couple of the guys were training for HURT and they wanted to do 100 on the road before they were killing it on the
That is
trail. So
awesome.
I ran that with them, which, was not a race whatsoever. We were running stupidly around the island and it can be done so much faster. But because four of us hung together, I mean, we were out there 40 plus hours on a weekend.
Wow.
And I mean, it was semi-miserable. The first 100 was great. It was the last 35 that took a gazillion years. I mean, you're stumbling, walking through the night and
Right,
you're on
right.
highways you shouldn't have been on. It was silly, but But
That's awesome.
it was, but it shaped kind of my idea of like, well, if I can run 135 miles really slow, I bet I can run some other cool races, you know?
How cool. But I think some of the fondest memories are when you just go out and do something stupid and there's no buckle or metal behind it, but it's just, you go out and do it and you go, well, that was stupid, but dang, that was fun.
Yeah. I mean, if you got to really live, and that is what I have, what running has been to me, one of the many
That is
things.
awesome. So you end up here in 2016, and so kind of take us, did you run your first 100 in Virginia, or where was your first 100 miler?
Well, I got a little full of myself after that 135,
Uh-huh.
thinking I could do all the things. And technically, we had orders to Arizona. So
Okay.
I signed up for Javelina thinking, I got that. No problem. And then we got
Yeah, no
orders
problem.
here. They changed. Like literally, our stuff was packed and was going to be sent to Arizona and got sent here instead. So I continued to train and I didn't really know people. I mean, I ran 50 miles of a training run at Noland by myself when I got
Oh
here.
my gosh.
I mean, I have pictures.
That's
My kids
10
came
loops
out.
around Noland.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, I've done a lot of things by myself unafraid when I knew I had a goal. Like I'm not a stranger to hard things, but that was tough. And then so I was able to fly out to Arizona ready to run Javelina. So that was 2016. So yeah,
Okay.
this time of year, I mean, all the things keep popping up in my Facebook memories. And I had a girlfriend that I knew, military spouse that I stayed with, and she was going to crew me. And she was a newer trail runner, and she had set up some pacers for me. I mean, it couldn't have been more ideal for not knowing things, right? But I went out there just very ill-equipped, and I suffered greatly. I made it through three loops, so it was like 60 some miles, but I had vomited for 40 of them.
Oh,
And
that's the worst.
I could not keep food down, and you know, I wasn't hydrated well, and I just wasn't used to the dry heat. I mean, I could give you 100 excuses, but like I was too big for my britches too. Like I just didn't know what I was getting into. And you know, I'd done the mileage. I thought I was fine, but there's so much more to problem solving and running 100 and being very humble and learning about all the different things you're going to encounter. So it was a big wake up call for me.
That's awesome. Sometimes, DNFs are not a bad thing.
You
I
learn a
know
lot.
a lot of people look at DNFs and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I DNF'd. I'm like, if you take a DNF and you go, okay, what did I learn? Then it's a very valuable lesson. So yeah, they're not bad.
I figure if you're really going to put yourself out there and do really hard things, they have to be hard things that you're not always sure you can finish, you know, to
Exactly.
really, I mean, that's my personal, I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I'm going to pick the really hard, scary things, and I'm going to fail from time to time, and that's okay.
Yep. And it's perfectly fine to fail every once in a while, as long as you fail forward.
That's adulting.
Yeah, and we shouldn't do that very often. Give a bad reputation with that adulting stuff.
No, but at the end of the day, right? Like I want to teach my boys that it is okay, right? Like to not always accomplish what you set out to accomplish. But if you don't, how do you pick yourself back up? Like what did you
Exactly.
learn? Who are you at the end of
Exactly.
the day? Is running my only thing? Well, absolutely not. So who am I really? And if I can function and move forward, that is most important.
Yeah, I always tell people that ultra marathons are like a microcosm of life. So
Correct.
it's like living all of life in a very, very short time, but all of the challenges that you're going to have throughout life, you're going to have in an ultra marathon. So go ahead and
Something
go
like
do an
that,
ultra marathon, and you're going to experience all of life. From the
yeah.
joy of the start, through the, oh my God, I can't move another inch, and, everything in between. So, it's the best way to experience all you're going to experience in life in a very short period.
I would agree.
There you go. So, where did you go? You get back from Javelina, stuck in Hampton Roads, which I'm guessing, you're not even from the East Coast, are you originally?
No, I'm from Wisconsin. I'm a Midwest girl through and through.
Okay. I knew you weren't, I knew you definitely weren't an Easterner. I couldn't tell, what part of the country, but I knew it was definitely not East Coast. So you end up here in Hampton Roads, and what's going on after Javelina?
Well, I get kind of like I knew I had the bug to run the 100. I was going to do it. So this was at the very beginning of Yeti being a thing. I think I ran the second year of Yeti. It could have been the third, but it was early. So it was 2017. Get signed up for Yeti. But before I've run Yeti, I've run the 24-hour. Like, I've learned how to do run walk, right? Like, I've learned the intervals. Right. I've learned how to fuel. I've learned how to deal with hot weather. I've learned how to deal with my feet. I've been introduced to what it looks like to have good crew, good pacers. And so in 2017, I go out and I run Yeti and I have a very great race and it's a blast.
Awesome. And this is your first 100-mile finish, right?
Yep, first buckle, first real thing.
Awesome.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So yeah, and Yeti's no joke. I mean, that's not the easiest of races, but
I think it is.
Okay. All right. So what was your time at Yeti?
24:11.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Wow. That's a good time at Yeti. All right. So after Yeti, you've got that first buckle out of the way. So what's next on Alyssa's
slate?
So
I did Umstead in 2018. So
okay.
About 6 months later, but I foolishly did the 24-hour a couple weeks prior, you know, cause I kind of got in with all the people that this is all we did. And I honestly, I wasn't working yet. I was, you know, stay at home mom. I had the time. So I'd run while the kids were at school. Yeah. And that's kind of everybody I hung out with was all runners and ran all the time. So.
Okay. So was this the Virginia 24 Run for Cancer?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Wow.
I've
So
done
you
that
did.
Like 3 or 4 years. I want to say three, but
okay.
yeah.
And what's your best mileage there?
Best mileage there is 97.5
Wow.
or something.
Okay.
But see, I've
Tickled
never
that sub
cracked the
24.
124 hours, but I've never really tried super hard. Like I cared
Okay.
that year at 24 hour and I would have loved to have done it at Yeti, but everything else I've ever done since then has had elevation really, you know? So it hasn't been even on my radar to consider putting in the speed work. You know, I just don't enjoy that.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of speed work either. So after Yeti's kind of the flattest 100 you've done, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what was your Umstead, that was a little more elevation. What was after Umstead?
I did my first grindstone that year.
Wow.
So I did
Okay.
grindstone 18, 19, 21, 22, and 23. I just didn't get to do it the COVID year. So I got, cause I wanted that 5 year buckle.
Right. So last year was your 5 year grindstone buckle, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what did you think since you've run, you know, the old grindstone and the new UTMB grindstone? What was the difference in the course?
Oh, they're very different because you hit different points at different times. I honestly can't even say I can compare them. They're so different. And this is also the reason I don't write race reports. And I'm not like some of the guys you have on here that are amazing and can retell you every single thing that they were thinking and feeling at every mile marker. I kind of have this race amnesia thing going on.
It's awesome. I love it.
I can get through all this hard stuff and I remember some highs and lows, but literally I can think about a race and remember five different things and like, that's it. So.
There you go. That's good. That's good. It's good to have race amnesia. That way, you know, you don't
Sometimes.
remember, gosh, this was hard. I forgot how hard that climb was.
Yeah. So grindstone, I mean, it is probably one of my, you know, absolute favorite races, obviously, since I returned so many times, but I'm glad I got to run both courses just to have had the experience. They were both hard in their own way. With the new grindstone course, you know, they added 3 or 4 miles. Well, that's
Right.
significant at the end of a 100 miler. There was more road at the end, which was really weird and not what we were used to. I don't love that it was taken over in a whole big thing now. Like I loved it when it was old school and we were at a Boy
Yeah.
Scout camp. And I like that old school vibe that you get at Umstead. And, you know, even when Yeti started before it got so big and crazy. And, you know, I like a race that I could sign up at the last minute if I wanted to. And I don't have to decide a year ahead in a lottery. Like that doesn't excite me. Like I like the small feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. As soon as it gets big, I'm just like, eh, okay.
But I love big mountains. So even if I'm not fast, I want to endure them. I want to see, I want to have an adventure and an experience. And that is what I kind of live for.
That's awesome. I love that. So what are, I know there's three more hundreds in here. So what are the other two before we get into the last
Well, my
one?
other hardest was Cruel Jewel, which I did in
Oh my
21.
gosh. Really? That
Yeah.
is a monster.
That is a monster. I will say though, that none of like some of these really hard ones would not have been possible without people. Like
Right.
I had some running partners that like, I mean, I did Cruel Jewel, every step of Cruel Jewel with a guy I was training with back in the day. And then I've also always had really good pacers and really good crew. And so this is definitely, you know, I can sound all big and bad doing this. No, I'm really gritty and I'm not going to give up. But like, I've had really good people in my life and I'm very,
Yeah.
very, very blessed.
Yeah, that's I think that's one of the things that I noticed about you at the backyard was that you're very, very gritty and you're not going to throw in the towel just because it got a little bit hard. And I loved that Ty was out there crewing you for the whole backyard. I thought
That
that
was
was so
awesome.
cool.
He's never
That had
done
to been a
that. That was
blessing.
great.
Yeah, he just seemed like a natural at it. I was just like, this
He
kid is amazing. I was very impressed with that young man. So
Well, and when
you
he's
done?
not injured, I mean, I foresee in my future him pacing good chunks of stuff when he's, healthy. And my older one, while he may never run with me out there, like he will be great crew because he is so meticulous and over the top about all the details. Like he'll drive me nuts about it, but he will be very, very good. So.
That's awesome. Wow. That would be fun to have your two boys out crewing and pacing you.
It might be a couple years, but I totally foresee it.
That would be so cool. And then this year you went up and ran Rim to River.
I did Massanutten in 22. That was kind of the
Oh,
other one
did
from
you
there.
Massanutten? Oh, cool. What is Massanutten like? I keep hearing things about it. What is it really like?
It's just more rocks than you could ever imagine in the same place. It's
You know, like
beautiful.
running the priest over and over and over again, right?
Yeah, none of the climbs are quite that bad as the priest, obviously. But I used to train at the priest a lot and
Okay.
do two or three repeats like that. That was like a staple in a lot of my grindstone, Massanutten, and Cruel Jewel training. Like that is where I trained. But I had people
Yep.
that I went with because that's not somewhere like I head up by myself.
Nah, yeah, that's
But no, so Massanutten was gorgeous. I loved the course. I remember the sunrise. I remember beautiful parts of that course, but it is very challenging in that you don't get in a rhythm for very long ever. Because once you start getting to run for a little bit, then there's big rocks and there's small rocks. I mean, your feet get so beat up there.
I can't even imagine.
Everyone said that about Rim to River, and I got out of Rim to River with zero blisters. My feet were fine. I had no issues. I just felt like I got hit by a truck because I was so tired. And I think
Right.
that's me aging, and I'm really not that old, but like I just can't recover like I did, 7 years ago. Like I need more sleep. I
Yep. Yep.
stress in my life. So
Yeah, I like the Rim to River course. It's just I don't know, it's really beautiful. It's a beautiful course. I don't think it's all that technical. I think it can
not.
get mind-boggling in that Arrowhead loop. I don't like that section at all. But I don't think it's that technical.
No, it's so runnable. Like that, it just blew my mind. I was like, I can still run. I can still
Yeah.
run this. And, I don't think I took off too fast. I just fell apart because I couldn't stay awake. That is like
Right.
one of my biggest Achilles heels at any of these races is the staying up overnight. And, I don't ever really try to sleep usually because I don't normally have a lot of time to spare, but I just kind of wander and I kind of act like a drunk person when I like can't stay awake and I'm like weaving around. And if I could, I thought I had that covered for Rim to River because at the last grindstone a year ago was the first time like I didn't fall asleep. And that's 2 nights of being up, I had
Yeah.
tried some new things and I had felt really good. And I thought, okay, I've got my solution. I know what I need to do. And it just did not work this time at
Yeah.
all. So.
I'm not good. I'm just like that. It's that 2 a.m. to like 3:30 a.m. time. Don't even ask me if I moved during that time because I can't tell you.
Mine was like probably closer to more like 4 hours of like being really out of it. And that just, it eats so much time, it's
Yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. I haven't come up with a solution either. So yeah, we'll
I
just
had
keep
tried
on searching.
these new mints I tried. They're Neuro mints and they're like
Okay.
natural caffeine and they worked at grindstone beautifully. Like I had a million of them and I never got jittery and I stayed awake. But there's so many jokes from previous hundreds of like, oh, did Alyssa stay awake again? Nope, she didn't. Like somehow she was wandering, but yet we got her back home. She's okay.
That is so awesome. So let's talk a little bit about some of your crew because you've had a lot of really awesome people crew and pace you. So tell us a little bit about where you find these people and how they've become part of your community. Because I think it's a big part of your story.
It's all different. I mean, it's just part of kind of where I've been at that point in life. I mean, we had a season here where we had like five different people kind of in our little running family, and we would train together. And I mean, I don't even know if I can really tell you where we all found each other. I mean, I found a lot of people through the running store where I would meet them. But Victor, my trail running dad, who I ran with today, who crewed and paced at Rim to River. I mean, he has crewed probably five or six of my hundreds. I mean, he's crewed a lot of them. But he was one of the first ultra runners I met in Virginia. And it was through a friend of a friend. And they're like, oh, we don't know many crazy people that do what you do, but this guy does it, you know? And then, you know, to be a part of like his family, you know, I mean, his wife is amazing. She came and crewed. And so, I mean, all that to say, the ages have always ranged, you know, like he's in his 60s. I'm in my 40s. I had a girlfriend that was in her 30s, and, you know, we've had everyone in between. So it's kind of been like a family. And then Adam, who you met, who paced me, he's my age, you know, and we met at one of Karen's 8-hour races. I think we've all kind of met at different races or the running store and kind of been like, oh, you're training for that. Let's hang out. Let's run together. And when it works, it works. It's a blast. But everybody goes through different seasons. I mean, there's people I don't run with because of injury, or they're not still running as much, or they moved away, or you know what I mean? Like it depends on your dynamic, or, oh, you're divorced now, or you're, you know, whatever, like you're in a different place in life where you don't hang out anymore. So.
Right. And now you've overcome a lot of things in your personal life that could have drug you down, but you've overcome them. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that have gone on that could have stopped your running dead in its tracks, right?
I mean, yes and no. But yeah, I would say I've had a handful of like large life challenges. And I would say what got me into running initially was raising a special needs kid. That was part of it, right? And dealing with the stresses of that and a spouse that was, you know, deployed all the time. And so that, you know, those are some big challenges right there. You know, going through a divorce is challenging. I also got sober 7 years ago. And so kind of dealing with that. And I came from a very conservative, amazing family. And I just kind of was always the, wasn't the black sheep, but I'm a pastor's kid. That should say enough right there.
So, yep. That's all you got to do is say,
I kind of just like to live and learn a lot of things. And so, you know, and I was running through a lot of this, and I would just say at the end of the day, kind of where I am now is, yes, running's kind of gotten me through this, but it's God that's gotten me through it. And, you know, I've gone through a lot of things in the last couple of years. And, you know, if you knew me a couple of years ago and you haven't known me since, I would say I'm a significantly different person. I mean, I'm still running and I'm still doing all the things, but like running has helped me kind of align who I am and what my values are. And I've gotten to kind of just watch God work in my life. And God just continues to show me that he cares about all the details of my life. And, you know, it even happens when I race and when I get to run and I get to do these crazy things, and it's just very cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. With your running and everything, where do you want to go from here? So you've got 10 buckles. That's awesome, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just want to be able to continue to run as long as possible. Like I want to be healthy enough that, you know, I'd love to still be running at 80, realistically. I won't be running 100 milers, but like, for example, one of my best friends in the whole world is my mother, and she's turning 75 in January, and we still run together, and I get to coach her, which is a blast. And she's actually training to run a marathon. That's what she wants to do, like for her turning 75, which we've run them together before. I got to pace her at the Honolulu Marathon 10 years ago.
Okay.
But we're going to run the Eau Claire Marathon. So she lives in Wisconsin, and we're going to do that in April. So that's the only thing that's like actually on my calendar for next year so far. Really stoked about that. But where do I want to go? I want to be able to keep running. I want to encourage people. I want to support my friends and other people in the running community. I would love to keep, I plan to keep running hundreds, but I think it's very much based on, you know, kind of how life works out. My youngest is getting ready to graduate this year. So I probably won't run another 100 till he graduates, till after that. Okay. So I'm looking at next fall. I'm not making any plans till the lottery happens December 7th, but
yes,
I have 32
fingers
tickets
crossed.
In for states, 32
I was going to say, and how many, is this your, this will be your eighth year with tickets into Western?
I don't think we got them in for, no, I don't think it really counts that way. So, cause for Western, I want to say that's 6 is 32.
Okay.
I think maybe 7, I don't know. And then the COVID year got weird, but I do know, yep, I have 6 years in for Hard Rock. So, I mean, that's almost, wow, kind of comical, because getting chosen this year for either of those is just not ideal. I would have to radically change a whole bunch of things in my training to be able to even toe the line and feel good about it and know that I'm giving it my all. Cause I sure won't go somewhere and spend that kind of time and money if I haven't adequately trained.
Right. So are Western and Hard Rock, are those kind of, man, if I could get in those, that'd be awesome.
I mean, they always have been, and I've never not, I mean, once I started running and was able to qualify for them, yeah, it was a pretty big priority. I'm not dying to run either of them this year, like I said.
Right, right.
I'm open to whenever I'm supposed to get in, I will get in.
Yep. Have you ever thought about going back and getting the Javelina Redemption?
No desire. I hate the desert. Like, that's just,
that's awesome.
And I have one more, I have one more 100-miler DNF and under my belt. Cause again, like I said, if you dare greatly, you're going to fail.
Okay.
So last year, at Hellbender, beautiful course, I lined up and I don't think I gave my training quite the respect it deserved. You know, I was working a new job full time and kind of doing my own thing, and I'd been sick as well. So there was a handful of things, but that is one tough course. I mean, it is.
That brutal. Is, yeah.
And
yeah.
I struggled mightily, and I was having trouble from the beginning climbing, and I just couldn't breathe well. And, you know, getting up Mount Mitchell, and I didn't quite, like, I wasn't totally in danger of cutoffs, but it just got ugly. And I knew I couldn't make it through the night. And it's so rare of me to think that I just can't make it, you know, like,
right.
I didn't want to die trying. I was like, you know what, this one I'm okay sitting out. So I pulled about halfway through, and it was a good decision. I mean, I'm not in a place right now with my children and in my life to successfully run 200s a year. I don't need to do that. Like, that's,
yeah,
you know, other people can do that. I am not in a place where that is the best fit for me.
Yeah. I'm cool. So maybe Hard Rock, maybe Western States. I'll talk you into doing Bighorn Mountain Run one day.
You might not have to talk me into it too much. I just have to, like, it's focusing that training, like what Adam Morrell did. Like, it's deciding that you're going to take on this crazy race and not have the place to train for it. And so how creative do you want to get? And again, I've done that because I ran Cruel Jewel, but it takes so much creativity as a flatlander to go into the mountains and, like, crush mountains. It's not
it
easy.
Does. Yeah.
But it's pretty awesome when you watch people do it. I'm always
Absolutely.
Inspired. So.
Yeah. Cool. So the biggest thing, you know, that I see in you is your grit and your refuse to quit. Where did that come from?
My father, hands down.
Okay.
Yeah. He's super gritty. He is one of my greatest, like, inspirations. We were not close when I was growing up, because, like I said, I was kind of the defiant pastor's child, but my dad is, like, rock solid, his integrity and who he is. And he's just gritty Midwest kid growing up. Like, and actually his story is pretty crazy. He was a hardcore atheist. He had all these goals for his life. He married my mom, who is a saint, and got saved, and kind of his whole life radically changed. And so I just think he's been gritty in a lot of aspects of his life. And his mom passed away when he was in high school. And I don't know, my dad is just one of my, like, biggest heroes. For sure.
I was going to say, it sounds like he's one of your heroes, which I think is totally awesome. That's cool.
And I love
that.
That
is cool.
So that's another reason that my running is so significant. I mean, yes, he coached me early on and he was a runner for many years, but he did have a lot of, like, he was a college football player. And so I don't know, he hasn't really even been able to run for probably 15 or 20 years. Like, once I started running, he was done running. And
okay.
He still lifts weights and he's still active, but he's had hip surgeries and he's had knee replacements, and he's had them all. And I just watched that. And I'm like, I know he wishes he could run with me. I know he wishes he could run with my mom. And so the fact that he can't run, and currently my son, who has stress fractures for, like, the third time, is not running. Like, I get to do this. So even on the days where it sucks and it's hard, I'm like, I get to, and it's a blessing. And I'm so thankful, even when I'm crabby about it, or I don't want to do it, or I feel like a loser. Cause this week my runs, you know, were so hard and they were so slow and I was so tired. And I'm like, how did I just run 100 and feel like I was successful? Like, I feel like such a loser. And then just to remember, I get to do this and I need to be grateful. And there's so many people that wish they could. And,
yep,
you know, I need a little attitude adjustment from time to time. So,
yeah. When we lived in Sheridan, when I had runs that just got sucky and I felt like, I couldn't do it anymore, I used to take this route through the cemetery.
Oh gosh.
And through the cemetery, and I would just go, there are so many people in, this little bitty town of Sheridan who wish they could be out doing what I'm doing. So be grateful that you're still moving. Be grateful that you're able to do the things that you're able to do, and maybe have a little gratitude in your heart and see if that changes the way that you view the run. And it always helped me.
Always. That is actually, it's funny because that's one of my like signature things that anybody who's really run with me or that I've paced will know. So like today when I was running with Victor, especially on the Cap Trail, because there's mile markers, but I have a thing where, and it has nothing to do with Thanksgiving, but every mile we have to say something we're thankful for. And you could not even imagine how that affects your mindset for 20 miles
Oh,
or
yeah.
50 miles of a 100 miler or whatever. And so, and it also sparks a lot of amazing conversation about really deep stuff. So,
Yes.
one of your things could be, I'm thankful that, this is the last mile we're running, or I'm thankful for M&Ms. But then, it's also like, I'm really thankful that God provided X, Y, and Z, or I'm thankful for my spouse, or I just love this about my kids. And then you go on and on and on. So for today, between Victor and I, just think that's 40 things we were thankful for, but really it probably turned into 100, and
Yeah.
that's cool. I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Your attitude is, I don't know, you've got a magical attitude and you seem to encourage others around you. And is that something that you do on purpose, the
Oh,
encouraging others
yeah.
around you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I feel like I've always felt like that's something I'm supposed to do, but it's something I love to do. Like,
Okay.
I just feel like that is my purpose. If I can encourage someone because I know what it's like to want to be encouraged or need to be encouraged, I want to point that out to someone, what they're doing well or what's exciting or whatever. I mean, like I said, I've coached a lot of years as well, and I know what it feels like when somebody tells me I'm doing well or they point something out that I didn't see. And it's a game changer, So I felt like it was partially like when I ran Room to River, again, so much running those first 50 miles. And
Yep.
I got to run with so many different people. I mean, it was great. Like, and a few people that I've connected with on social media after, but even this happens at every race. And, it was just cool to be able to, I felt like it was my job or my purpose to encourage people. Like I'd hear their story and where they're from and ask them questions. And, it was how can I listen? How can I serve? How can I like hear their stories and hear what they want to tell me? Because if they're willing to be vulnerable or humble enough to share part of who they are, their family, their life, how they got into running, I want to listen and I want to be there and I want to, support them and wish them well. And there was a ton of new people running Room to River as well, first timers. And, when you can
Yeah.
tell them, you're awesome, keep it up. Like, that's
Yep.
fantastic.
Yeah, that was one of the fun things about crewing Adam this year was at Rim to River, as I spent a lot of time at the aid stations just encouraging other runners. That's one of the things I love about the ultra running community is that there's so many people in the ultra running community that look at other people during a run and they're able to encourage them. It's just part of the magic, I think.
And it goes both ways. I mean, I spend a lot of time trying to thank volunteers. And, some of them always get thanked, but you can tell the handful that don't,
Yeah.
And I volunteered as well. And I know how hard it is to want to stand out there that many hours and do all the things and deal with probably some crabby people and some happy people and those gross, nasty packs and, all of our stuff. And like ultra runners are a hot mess. Like we're awesome, but like some of us are high maintenance and, to watch. I don't know. I just it means a lot to me when these people have given a whole weekend or a day or whatever to serve us. And like, again, they don't have to, they're choosing to. So I better be grateful. So I really went out of my way to try to do that as well, because I think that's so important.
Well, I've only been around you in two of your races, but I definitely see that in you. So I appreciate that, the way that you do that. Beautiful.
Thanks. You've done
Well,
the same
let's.
thing, though. That's what I noticed about you and what I loved when I was at the backyard, when you were standing at all these random places, making sure people didn't go the wrong way and, keeping people happy. And I mean, it's huge. Again, that smile, kind words, like they mean the world, especially if you're falling apart or you're going through like a little dark area or whatever. You just need someone to
Exactly.
go, hey, you got it. You're good.
Yep. And if you've been there, if you've been through the dark places, you know how to help others through the dark places because you
Yes.
found the light.
Yep.
And there you can take that any way you want to take that, because I do mean it the way that it's meant to be taken, that when you've gone through the darkness, And all of a sudden, the light reveals itself to you. You never want to go back in the darkness without the light again, but you also want to be a light to other people.
Metaphors in running and life
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
by Mike.
And there you go.
Love
And this
it.
is the way we like to bring all the Living in Ultra Life podcast to a close. So the name is Living in Ultra Life. When you hear it, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Living an ultra life? Well,
Yeah.
we think about ultra running, but I always think about like all the things. I mean, it's all of it. Ultra is long, it's hard.
Yeah. So would it surprise you if I told you that the name of this all came from a verse out of the Bible?
Would that surprise me? Absolutely not. Which one?
Yeah. So it's John 10:10.
Okay.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, life to the full.
Abundantly. Yes. It's a good
And I
one.
just decided that if a life abundantly is an ultra life, it's a life that there is no limit that you place on yourself because he doesn't place limits on you. Do not settle for just a mediocre life. You were promised a full life, so go after the full life.
Yes, that's awesome.
Well, Alyssa, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.